Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Golder, and today we're in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Pei Aleph, the seventh parak, Ketzed Solin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Yosef inquired, Kohen Meratz B'Tamid, concerning the Kohen who affects acceptance for the Tamid, meaning the one that does the Avodah, Hutra Tumas at the home or lo? Was Tumas at the home permitted for him or not? If you'll say that Tumas at the home was permitted for the Kohen who is Meratz the carbon for a Nazir or Pesach, do we say that we only receive the tradition in regards to a Nazir and Pesach, but not for the Tamid? Or perhaps we can derive the law of the Talmud from the tradition received about Nazir and the Pesach. Rabbah says it's a kal v'chomer. If in a place where known Tumah is not permitted, such as in the case of a Nazir or Pesach, Tumah set the home is permitted, then in a place where known Tumah is permitted, such as a Talmud, which Rashi explains can be offered by a Talmud Kohen when no Tara Kohen is available, is it not logical that Tumah set the home would be permitted for it? So the Gemara rejects this proof because ain done in kal v'chomer mahalacha. We do not derive a kal v'chomer from halacha l'moshe Sinai. Rava answered instead that we derive the law for the Tamid that Tumas Dahom is permitted for the Kohen from the Gezeres Shava of Mo'odo from the case of the Pesach. Point number two, the Gemara asks for the Makor for Tumas Dahom, and three sources are brought. The Gemara challenges the interpretations based on a braisa that states, Ezoi Tumas Dahom, which is Tumas Dahom, Kosho Hikr Ba Echad B'Sof HaOlam, any Tumah that no one, even at the end of the earth, is aware of. Hikr ba echad b'sof ha'olam, if even one person at the end of the earth is aware of it, ein zed tumas at the home. It's not tumas at the home. So since none of the sources were consistent with that definition, the Gemara concludes tumas at the home, hilchas ha'gimri, love across smakta ba'olma. The law of tumas at the home is halacha moshe misina, and the pasuk brought by each amor was only in a smakta, a written support for what was transmitted orally. And point number three, a braisa defines the type of concealment that qualifies for tumas at the home. Matzu tam v'tevin ba'afur b'tzroros, if one found it concealed under straw, earth, or pebbles, arizet tumas dahom. This is tumas dahom. B'mayim ba'afel u'b'nikike haslayim, but if one found it in water, in the darkness, or in crevices in the boulders, ainzet tumas dahom. It is not tumas dahom. Rashi explains that although the tumah is not readily apparent, it's not deemed concealed and unknown, since one who looks closely can find it in spite of its position. The halacha Moshe Mesina was handed down only concerning a corpse that isn't a place concealed from all people. The Braisa concludes, Lo amru tumas dahom el lemeis bilvad. And they said that the law of tumas dahom is only permitted in regard to a mace. So once again, the three topics are number one. Rav Yosef inquired, Kohen hamaratz b'tamid, concerning the kohen who affects acceptance for the tamid, meaning the one that does the avoda, hutra tumas dahom or lo, was tumas dahom permitted for him or not? Now, if you'll say that tumas dahom was permitted for the kohen who is maratz for the carbon for a nazir or pesach, do we say that we only receive this tradition in regards to a Nazir and Pesach, but not for the Talmud? Or perhaps we can derive the law of the Talmud from the tradition received about a Nazir and the Pesach. So Rabbi said it's a kal v'chomer. If in a place where known Tumah is not permitted, such as in the case of a Nazir or Pesach, Tumah at the home is permitted, then in a place where known Tumah is permitted, such as a Tamid, which Rashi explains can be offered by a Tamid Kohen when no Tahor Kohen is available, is it not logical that Tumah at the home would be permitted for it? The Gemara rejects this proof because ain done in kal v'chomer mahalacha. We do not derive a kal v'chomer from halacha moshe Mesinai. Rava answered that we derive the law for the Tami that tumas dahom is permitted for the Kohen from the Gezer Shava of Mo'odo from the case of the Pesach. Point number two, the Gemara asks for the Makor for tumas dahom, and three sources are brought. The Gemara challenges the interpretations based on a braisa that states, Ezu tumas dahom, which is tumas dahom, kosho hikr ba'echad b'sof ha'olam, any tumah that no one, even at the end of the earth, is aware of. Hikr ba echad b'sof ha'olam, if even one person at the end of the earth is aware of it, ain zed tumas at the home. It is not tumas at the home. Now, since none of the sources were consistent with that definition, the Gemara concludes, tumas dahom hilchas gemiri la, across smakta ba'om. The law of tumas dahom is halacha l'moshe misina, and the pasuk brought by each amor was only in a smakta, a written support for what was transmitted orally. And point number three, a braisa defines the type of concealment that qualifies for tumas at the home. Matsu tam b'tevim ba'afu b'tzroos, if one found it concealed under straw, earth, or pebbles, har zed tumas dahom, it's tumas at the home. B'mayim ba'afeo b'nikike ha'slayim, but if one found it in water, in the darkness, or in crevices in the boulders, ain zed tumas dahom, it is not tumas dahom. Rashi explains that although the tumah is not readily apparent, it's not deemed concealed and unknown, since one who looks closely can find it in spite of its position. The halacha l'moshe Mesina was handed down only concerning a corpse that is in a place concealed from all people. The braisa concludes, V'lamru tumas dahom el ha'meis bilvad. And they said that the law of tumas dahom is permitted only in regard to a mace. All right, so now we get our simon for daf pei off, and our standard simon is a grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for tumas at the home and who told the Kohen bringing a tummy that's permitted for him, was devastated when he's told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world, despite the fact that it was concealed under straw. Once again, in slow motion. The grandpa, that must be more than Duff Payolov. The grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a tumas at the home and who told the Kohen bringing a tummy that it's permitted for him, which reminds us, Rav Yosef inquired, Kohen maratz b'tummy, concerning the Kohen who affects acceptance for the tummy, meaning the one that does the avoda, was tumas at the home permitted for him or not? Rav said, it's a kal v'chomer. If in place where known tuma is not permitted, such as in the case of a Nazir or Pesach, tumas at the home is permitted, according to some, then in a place where known tumah is permitted, such as a tamid, which Rashi explains can be offered by a tamid kohen when no tahor kohen is available, isn't it logical that tumas at the home would be permitted for it? The Gemara rejects this proof because ain't done in kal v'chomer mahalach, we don't derive a kal v'chomer from halach l'mosh m'sinai. Rava answered instead that we derive the law of the tummy that tumas at the home is permitted for the kohen from the gezer shava of mo'odo from the case of the Pesach. So the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a tumas at the home and who told the Kohen bringing a tummy that is permitted for him, was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world. Which reminds the Gemara asks for the source for Tumas Dahom, and three sources are brought. The Gemara challenges the interpretations based on a brisa that states that which is Tumas Dahom, any tumma that no one, even at the end of the earth, is aware of. If even one person at the end of the earth is aware of it, ain't zet Tumas Dahom. It is not Tumas Dahom, since none of the sources were consistent with that definition. The Gemara concludes, Tumas at the home, Hilchas and Gemirla, Ukras Makdaba Alma. The law of Tumas at the home is a lachal of Moshe Messina, and the pasuk brought by each Amor was only on a smachta. So the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a Tumas at the home, and who told the Kohen bringing a tummy that is permitted for him, was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world, despite the fact that it was concealed under straw. Which reminds us, a brisa defines the type of concealment that qualifies for Tumas at the home. If one found it concealed under straw, earth, or pebbles, it's tumas at the home. But if one found it in water, in the darkness, or in crevices in the boulders, it's not tumas at the home. Rashi explains that although the tumas is not readily apparent, it's not deemed concealed and unknown, since one who looks closely can find it in spite of its position. The Braisa concludes that tumas at the home only applies for the tumah of a maze. So once again, the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for tumas at the home, and who told the Kohen bringing a tummy that's permitted for him, was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world, despite the fact that it was concealed under straw. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Daf Ein Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Ein Zayin is a goat, an aze. So here goes. The long line of various goat offerings that were docha tuma were paraded in front of the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, since the tuma was duchuya betzibur, and who was checking to make sure that neither the blood nor the basar were disqualified. Once again, in slow motion. The long line of various goat offerings. Goat? That must be more daf Ein Zayin. The long line of various goat offerings that were docha tuma, which reminds us that the Gemara explains why the word mo'odo was brought so many times to teach that the tami, pesach, musafim, omer, shtei, and lechem are docha tuma and Shabbos. So the long line of various goat offerings that were docha tuma were paraded in front of the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, since the tuma is duchuya betzibur. Which reminds us, the Gemara mentions regarding the Amoraim and the Yeshiva that they presume the lechuli alma tuma duchuya betzibur, that all are in agreement that tuma is overridden rather than permitted in regard to the community ubay tzitz or ratzos, and therefore the tzitz is needed to affect acceptance for the karbanos brought in a state of tuma. Rashi explains that even though the Torah permits the karbanos to be brought in a state of tuma, it's not a heta gamur, and therefore it's only permitted if tahor kohanim cannot be found, and it also still requires the tzitz to affect acceptance. So the long line of various goat offerings that were docha tuma were paraded in front of the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, since the tuma is duchuya betzibur, and who was checking to make sure that neither the blood nor the basar were disqualified. Which reminds us that the Amoraim and the Yeshiva also presume that all agree that ein hatzitz meratza al achilos, that tzitz is not meratza on the part of the offering that is eaten, and suggest therefore that the Mishnah is not in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, for it was taught in the Braisa, the pasuk states, Vasisa olasecha habasar vahadam, you shall make your ola offerings, the meat and the blood. Rabbi Yeshua says, im ein dam, ein basar ein dam. If there is no blood, because it's been disqualified from being thrown in the Mizbeach, its meat may not be burnt on the Mizbeach, and vice versa. The Gemara explains that since Rabbi Yeshua says that we need the blood and the flesh to be valid in order for the blood to be thrown, and it was stated that it is presumed that when the tumah exists, the tzitz is not meratz on the part which is eaten, making it invalid, how can any offering be brought in a state of tumah? The Gemara concludes Rabbi Yeshua was referring to a karban yachid, whereas the Mishnah was referring to karbanos of the tzibor, where the tumah is hutra betzibor, retracting the original presumption of the Amoraim. Daf Ein Ches, so the Simmer Daf Ein Ches is a child going, ugh. So here goes. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh when he was told the meat of his pretend Pesach was Tamei making it puzzle, while two groups of kids were fighting in the background because they were both registered on the same little lamb. Once again in slow motion. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh. A child going ugh, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin Ches. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends, which reminds us, the Gemara goes through a lengthy attempt to reconcile Rabbi Yossi, who holds Ein Atzitz Maratza Al-Chilos, with the Mishnah, and suggests that Rabbi Yossi holds Tuma Hutra Batzibur, and therefore the power of the Tzitz is not needed to permit communal offerings to be brought in his day of Tuma. This explanation is rejected based on a brisa that states regarding the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur or to burn the Paraduma, Mazin Olav Kol Shiva Mikol Chatosha Yusham Divrei Rimer. Rimer says he would be sprinkled all 7 days of his preparation, and Rabbi Yossi says they would only sprinkle him on the third and seventh day. Now, if Rabbi Yossi holds Tuma Hutra Batzibur, why is Hazan Nida at all? The Avodah of Yom Kippur is communal, and therefore there should be no concern of Tuma. The Gemara concludes the Mishnah does not go, according to Rabbi Yossi. So the kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh when he was told the meat of its pretend Pesach was Tamei, making it puzzle. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nitma Basit V'chelv Kayim Eino Zorik Kasadam. If the meat of an individual's Pesach became Tamei, and the chelv remains tahor, one does not do Zorik Kasadam. Rashi explains that this is true even according to Rabbi Lezer, who ruled that typically blood can be thrown even if no other part of the carbon is valid. Since the primary purpose of the Pesach is that it be eaten, it has no purpose if the meat is unfit, and therefore it may not be done. So the kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh when he was told the meat of his pretend Pesach was Tamei making a puzzle, while two groups of kids were fighting in the background because they were both registered on the same little lamb. Which reminds us, the Rav Gittel said in the name of Rav that in a case where the Pesach meat became Tamei, imzark hurza, if one threw the blood on the Mizbeach, the offering has gained acceptance and the owners are exempt from a Pesach sheni. The Gemara asks regarding the requirement to eat the Pesach and answers that Rav holds like Rabbi Nassim, who says that achilah lo ma'akva, eating is not essential to attaining acceptance. The Gemara seeks the source of Rabbi Nassim's opinion, and after rejecting the first source, the Gemara brings a brisa that teaches that if one group registered for the Pesach and the group had so many members that there was only kazayas for each, and then a second group registered, even though there would be nothing for them to eat, the Tanakhama holds the latter group must bring a Pesach sheni, whereas Rabbi Nassim holds that both groups are exempt shekvar nizra kadam, since the blood has already been thrown with him, registered upon it. We see from here that Rabbi Nassim holds it's not essential that the meat of the Pesach be available for eating in order to fulfill one's chiyuv. Daf Ayin Tes, so the Simmer Daf Ayin Tes is an 8, a pen, but we use a scribe. So here goes. The senior scribes, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin Tes. The senior scribes were busy counting how many kelim had become tummy from a mace versus a sheretz. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brisa that teaches that even if the majority of the Jews and the Kohanim were tahor, but the clay sharis were tamei, all the people, whether tahor or tamei, make the offering in tuma, because the communal offering brought in tuma is not divided. Rav Chissa said that this only applies shen nitma sak mitamei mace, where the knife or the other kli became tamei through contact with someone who had contact with a mace. The knife, therefore, is then mitamei, the one who's doing the shechting, so that when the passing offering is made, but tuma is a guf to karis kamas of it. It's made by people who are in a state of body tuma, who would be subject to karis if not for the special dispensation that applies to communal tuma. Since the avoda of the Pesach is being done by people whose bodies are tamei, those who are previously tamei may also participate in it. This din does not apply if the kli was touched by a sheretz, since it's not mitamei, the people bring the carbon and they remain tahor. Therefore, those who are tamei may not join them. Rava disagrees and says that it also applies in the case of a sheretz. So the senior scribes were busy counting how many kelim had become tamei from a mace versus a sheretz, while the rookie scribes, who counted half the people tahor and the other half tamei, which reminds us, there's a machlokes in a case where the Jews were evenly divided with half of them tahor and half of them tamei. Rav says, Mechsal Mechsal Karov, a case of half and half is treated like a majority. The Gemara explains, Halu Osin Atzman, Vahalu Osin Atzman. The Tahor ones make the Pesach offerings by themselves, and the Tamei ones make the Pesach offerings themselves. Rav Kahana said, Mechsal Mechsal Ein Karov, in a case of half and half, each segment is not treated like a majority. And the Gemara explains, Tahorin Osin Asarishon, Utmeim Osin Asasheni. Those who are Tahor make the first Pesach offering, since the minority group of Tahorim are never exempt from making the first Pesach, and those who are Tamei make the Pesach Sheni. The Gemara brings a second version of Rav Kahana's position, that those who are Tamei make neither the first or second Pesach. They do not make Pesach Rishon because they're not the majority, which would allow them to bring in a Tumah, and they don't make Pesach Sheni because they're not the minority. So the senior scribes were busy counting how many kelim had become Tameh from a mace versus a sheretz, while the rookie scribes who counted half the people Tower and the other half Tameh were in a quandary whether to include the woman, which reminds us. The Gemara brings Brises that supports Rav's position and the two versions of Rav Kahana's position. The middle Brises support the first version of Rav Kahana that the Tameh half is deferred to Pesach Sheni, and the Gemara asks how Rav and the second version of Rav Kahana would explain it. The Gemara answers that the case was where they were evenly divided between Tahor and Tameh, but the majority of men were Tahor, but Nashim Mashlimos L'Tameim, and when the women were included in the count, they filled in the missing number of Tameh people and brought the total to exactly half. And the Tana of this Braisa holds Nashim Berishon Rishus. The participation of the woman in the first Pesach is optional. Therefore, you must subtract the woman from the count of those who are Tameh, with the result that those who are Tameh are actually the minority of the ones who are counted. And the rule is that the minority is deferred to Pesach Sheni. Daf Pei. So the Simur Daf Pei is Payday. Payday. So here goes. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tameh from a Sheretz, it turned out the majority were Zavim and the minority were Tameh Mesim from a hidden corpse and were permitted to bring on Pesach Rishon or Sheni, even though the Tzitzis Maratza for Tumas at home. Once again, in slow motion. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely, that must mean Daf Pei. Payday. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tameh from a Sheretz, which reminds us it was stated that the Jews were evenly divided with half of them Tahor and the other half Tameh, Rav says were Matameh, one of the Tahor people, with the Sheretz, so the majority will be Tameh and they all bring the Pesach together in Tumah. Now the Gemara clarifies the Rav made a statement in a case where there's a Tana who holds that in the case of half and half, they do not all make the Pesach and Tumah, and who also holds, like Rabbi Yehuda said, in Karban Sibur Chaluk, that a Karban Sibur is not divided, meaning once a segment of the community is making the offering in Tumah, it's not fitting for the remainder of the community to avoid contact with them. So in such a case, he'll be forced to be Tameh, one of the Tahor people, with the Sheretz, so the majority will be Tameh, and the community will be able to make the offering in Tumah. Ul disagrees and says that when the community is divided, we send one of the Tahor people to a distant road, so the majority will be Tameh. And the Gemara clarifies that Ul disagrees with using a Sheretz, since he holds that we may shech the Pesach and Zrikas Adam on behalf of someone Tameh from a Sheretz. And Rav Nachman disagrees with Ul, since he held that no one would volunteer to go to the trouble of traveling to a distant road. So after the evenly split community paid one Bermer handsomely to become Tameh from a Sheretz, it turned out the majority were Zavim, and the minority were Tameh Mesim from a hidden corpse, and weren't permitted to bring on Pesach Rishon or Sheni, which reminds us it was stated that if the majority of the community were Zavim and the minority were Tameh Mesim, Rav says that those who were Tameh Mesim do not bring on Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. They don't bring on Pesach Rishon because they're a minority of the community, and the minority does not bring a Pesach and Tumah on Pesach Rishon. And they don't make it on Pesach Sheni because wherever the community brings a Pesach on Pesach Rishon, an individual who is Tameh brings it on Pesach Sheni. But whenever the community does not bring the carbon on Pesach Rishon, an individual that was Tameh does not bring it on Pesach Sheni. And the Meiri clarifies that the Zavim also don't make the Pesach on either Pesach Rishon or Sheni. They can't make it on Pesach Rishon because Tumah is not Tuchuyah for Zavim. And they can't make it on Pesach Sheni because the majority of the community is not deferred to Pesach Sheni. So after the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tameh from a Sheretz, it turned out the majority were Zavim, the minority were Tameh Mesim from a hidden corpse, and were permitted to bring a Pesach Rishon or Sheni, even though the Tzitzis Maratza for Tumas at the home. Which reminds us that the next Mishnah states that the Tzitzis Maratza in a case where it became known after the Zrikas Adam that the Pesach had become Tameh, but Nitma Aguf, but if it became known that the body of the owner had been Tameh, it's not Maratza because they said concerning another one making a Pesach, Hatzitz Maratza al Tumas Adam, Vein Hatzitz Maratza al Tumas Aguf. The Tzitzis Maratza for Tumah of the blood, but not for the Tumah of the owner's body. But if it became known that the owner had become Tameh from Tumas at the home, from the Tumah of the Deep, which is a Tumah that was unknown to anyone, the Tzitz is Maratza. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Mesechus, Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that the Tzitz is Maratza for Tumas at the home? That's on daf Pei. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that Tumas at the home is defined as Tumah that no one, even at the end of the earth, is aware of? That's on daf Pay off. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you in the Rabbi Yeshua holds? Im ein dam, ein basar, im ein basar, ein dam. That's on daf. Ein zayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you malchus Rav Chisim Rava whether the din that when a clay shard is from Tameh, everybody brings a Pesach and Tumah, applies to Tumah from a mace or also a sheretz? That's on daf. Ein test. Good number five. Which daf of Malchus is in a case where the community is evenly split? Whether Matame one of the Torah people with the Sheretz or send him to a distant road? That's on daf. Pay. Good number six. Which daf do you know the type of concealment that qualifies for tumas at the home is when the mace is found under straw, earth, or pebbles, not water, darkness, or crevices in rocks? That's on daf. Pay all. Good number seven. Which daf do you know that Shmuel said Maliach Haru Kareseach and Kavush Haru Kamavushal? That's on daf. Ein vav. Good number eight. Which daf do you know that there's a Tana that holds that Nashim on Pesach Rishon are a Shus? That's on daf. Ein test. Good number nine. Which daf do we learn that we derive the law for the time of the tumas at the home is permitted for the kohen from the gezer shava of moedo moedo from the case of the pesach? That's on daf. Pay off. Good. And number ten. Which daf do we machok is whether mex al mex is considered like a rove or not? That's on daf. Ein test. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which daf do we learn that there are certain times when one is permitted to speak after making a motzi? That's on daf. Mem and Brachas. Good. Number two. Which daf do you know that one should buy a sefer Torah if he has a sudden windfall of money? That's on daf. Samach Dal and Ervin. Good. Number three. Which daf do you know that it's mutter to extinguish burning metal? That's on daf. Mem Beis and Shabbos. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman. Wishing you a great day and great learning.